Chapter 26. While you're looking and opening your Bible to chapter 26, I want to read Proverbs 13:15 for you. It says, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." The way of transgressors is hard. The way of the backslider is a hard way. I want to preach this morning on five steps to backsliding. We have a great example of a backslider in the Bible. One of the greatest preachers that ever lived. A man by the name of Peter. People always say, "I'm like Peter." I wish you were. I just wish you were. All you can think about is you like him the way he sins. Why don't you be like him all the way around? Why don't you be like him the way he repents? Why don't you be like him the way he preaches? Why don't you be like him in his boldness? I wish you were like Peter. We could use a few right now. The way of the transgressor is a hard way. It's a hard way for a lost man. It's going to be a hard way for all eternity, for every lost man that transgresses God's will. But let me tell you something, my Christian friend. The way of the transgressor for the believer is a hard way. Backslider's way is hard. You may say it's hard to go on and do God's will. It's a whole lot harder not to. It may be hard to say no to sin sometime. It may be hard to say no to your friends sometime. It may be hard to be faithful to something you've given yourself to sometime. But my friend, to do less is a harder way. It's a harder way. You're in Matthew chapter 26. I want to begin at verse 26. Jesus has just spoken to Judas, knowing Judas is going to go out and betray him. And it says in verse 26, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you that I will not drink henceforth this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then said Jesus unto them, 'All ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee.' Peter answered and said unto him, 'Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended.' Jesus said unto him, 'Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' Peter said unto him, 'Though I should die with you, yet will I not deny thee.' Likewise also said all the disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, 'Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder.' He took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, 'My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me.' He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt.' He cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, 'What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak.' He went away again the second time, and prayed, saying, 'O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done.' And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, 'Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me.' While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, 'Whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast.' And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, 'Hail, Master,' and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, 'Friend, wherefore art thou come?' Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand, that's Peter, and drew his sword, struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus unto him, 'Put up again thy sword into his place, for all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be? In that same hour said Jesus to the multitudes, 'Are ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves for to take me. I sat daily with you, teaching in the temple. You laid no hand on me. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed him afar off unto the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. You turn to Mark chapter 14, verse 54. We'll take up where we left off. Mark 14, 54. And Peter followed him afar off, even unto the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Let's pray. Lord, you know our hearts this day. I ask that the Spirit of God might move freely throughout this congregation. I pray there'd be no hindrance. I pray you'd remove every devil out of hell from this room.
Amen.
I pray, dear God, that you'd take away every proud heart. I pray, dear God, you'd humble your servants. I pray, dear Lord, that we would be in the very center of your will when we walk out of this room today. I pray, dear God, for a new life, a revival, and all thy children. Begin it in me. Spread it throughout this place. I pray you'd have your way. I ask you to give me the freedom and ease to preach that only the Spirit of God can give. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd have your way in every life today. I ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. If you're here today and you've never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, let me tell you something. Here tells the story of the crucifixion of Jesus. If there'd been any other way to save your soul from hell than Jesus going to the cross of Calvary and being made your sin for you, God would have done it another way. There was no other way. When he hung up on the cross, the chief priests and some of the people said, he saved others himself, he cannot save. That's the absolute truth. If he saved himself by coming down off the cross, he could save no one else. The only way he could save your rotten soul from hell was to die on the cross in your place, become your substitute, your sacrifice, your righteousness, and take you to heaven by his grace. That's the only way. And I tell you simply today, my friend, if you're here and you're not saved, you're on the road to hell, and the only thing that keeps you there is one little heartbeat right here. The only thing that keeps you out of hell is you're still breathing. You don't have to wait till the end of your life to find out if you're going to heaven or if you're going to hell. That's decided right here and now with what you do with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
If you repent of your sins, accept Christ as your Savior, receive Him into your heart, make Him the Lord of your life, my friend, you'll go to heaven. If you reject Him, keep yourself Lord of your life, do as you please with your life, have your own way, stand in your own righteousness, I promise you, you're going to split hell wide open and never come out. It's that simple. My recommendation to you is to repent of your sins, repent of your religion, repent of your righteousness, repent of anything you've got that hinders you from coming to Jesus Christ, and fall on your face and get saved.
Amen.
And you say, well, I'm ready right now. Well, come on down. We'll start with you right now.
Amen.
No problem.
Amen.
I've been preaching and a guy jumps out of the aisle and runs down the front. And what's he doing? He says, I can't wait. I got to get saved. That's all right. We'll interrupt it for you. You just go ahead. If you're not saved, you need to get saved, come on down. We'll send somebody with you back in the room. They'll lead you to the Lord. You come back out and enjoy the rest of the message. Now, my recommendation to you, if you're here and lost today, is that you ask Jesus Christ to have mercy upon you and to save your soul. I'm going to be preaching to Christians the rest of this morning. I never liked to ever preach that I don't explain the gospel of Jesus Christ to somebody somewhere sometime. And that's what I just did. Very simply and very short, Jesus died in your place. You call upon Him, He'll save your soul. I want to talk to you, believer. I want to talk to you. I want to talk to you about how much you love the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you love Him like you used to love Him? I want to talk to you about where you are today. Are you a backslidden Christian? Are you one of those that needs revival? Were you ever closer to God than you are today? And if so, why? Why? You know, in every list of the apostles, the man Peter's listed first. He's never second. He's never second. He was never the Pope of Rome, but he was the first of the apostles.
Amen.
Amen.
He was never second. Every time they list them, it's Peter. When a revelation comes to the apostles, it's Peter. When it comes to Pentecost, it's Peter. When it comes to carrying the gospel to the Gentiles, it's Peter. I want you to know Peter was number one. When you start listing the great men of faith of the Lord Jesus Christ, You're going to have to lift Peter. You can't pass him by. You can't ignore him. You can't say that old backslidden sinner. You got to say, there is a saint of God. There is a preacher of the gospel. There is a servant of the Lord. There is one that God says will be number one, bold, and first in his work. We just read the story. And the end of this story is that some people come up to Peter and say, you're a Galilean. He said, no, you got it wrong. They say, you're one of Jesus' disciples. He said, I don't know the man. Yeah, I know you. You sound too much like him. And he began to curse and swear. Doesn't sound like Peter does. Doesn't sound like Peter. Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, I'd never do that. All the disciples said the same thing. Every one of them said the same thing. There are five steps that I see in Peter's life to backsliding. I wonder if you're on any one of those roads today. The first one was, my friend, his pride. He was talking when he ought to be listening. You remember what he said? Jesus Christ is talking to them, and in verse 31, he said, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. And he quotes Scripture. And then down at the bottom, verse 35 says, though all should die with thee, Peter said, yet will I not deny thee. Jesus Christ said, Peter, and all the rest of you, your flesh is weak. You're headed for trouble. Peter said, not me, Lord. Not me, Lord. Man, Lord, you know I'm with you. I've been with you on the mountain. I've been with you in the valley. I stood for you all the way. Lord, you know how I walked it 3.5 years. Remember the revelation of God that came to me. Lord, I'm with you. I'm a saint of God. Look at here. I haven't denied you up to this point. I'll never deny you. I'll never deny you. You know the problem with some Christians? They got their mouth open all the time. You know, as a kid, I was always smarter than my daddy. I've had 5 children. Some of them are grown, some are still growing. They're all smarter than me. I never did have a dumb kid. I don't know about you. You might have some dumb kids. Oh, mine was smart. My oldest boy, Eddie, I used to call him, I know it. He'd say, Daddy, what is this? And I'd tell him, well, it's this. He said, I know it. Make me so mad. I used to get so irritated. I know it. And you know, you tell them. Now, you better watch this. I know it. This is how you do this. I know it. I never had a dumb kid. I don't know about you, but all of mine were so smart. You know, we're sort of that way with the Lord. You know the Bible so well, you don't have to read it anymore, don't you? You've arrived, haven't you? You're all the time giving other people's advice. You can give the preacher advice. I've known Christians really give me a lot of advice on how to run a church. They couldn't even run their family. I know men who couldn't control their wives. They won't tell me how to run the church. I know people that don't even read the Bible, but they know everything's in it. You one of them? You one of those smart Christians that knows everything? Nobody can give you any advice. Nobody can teach you anything. You are to know the answer. Somebody tell you, be careful of the Word of God. Be careful of the commandments of the Lord. Be careful you don't sin against the Lord. I know it. Do you realize what Peter did here? Has it dawned on you what he did right here? The Lord of glory. The one Peter had already confessed as Lord of glory. The one he'd fallen down before and said, Thou art God. The one he'd committed his entire life to. He'd quit selling fish, sold his boats, dissolved his partnership, and took off living for Jesus Christ by faith. And Jesus Christ tells him, all of you are going to be offended. And Peter said, not me. He actually came to the point in his own pride, in his own mouth, that he contradicted the Lord of glory. How about you? That's your first step to backsliding. The minute you're smarter in God's Word, the minute you're so smart in that little 3-pound brain you got up there on top of your head that you don't need the Word of God anymore. I've had people tell me, I don't care what the Bible says, I know. I don't care what the Bible says, I want. I don't care what the Bible says. You know what? It do you good to read the Bible and find out what the Bible says. I have a message I like to preach every once in a while. It's out of Jeremiah. Is there any word from the Lord? Bless your heart. Yes, there is.
Amen.
I got a lot of word from the Lord. You need the Word of God on how to raise your children. You need the Word of God on how to build your family. You need the Word of God on how to go about your personal life. You need the Word of God, my friend, and some of you are too smart to listen to it. You're so smart, you think you can get away with what other people didn't get away with. You think you can actually live in sin and not get burned by the fire, my friend. Everybody I know that sticks their hands in the fire gets burned. You can't mess with sin and get away with it. I don't care who you are. You can be dead, bitten, cut.
You can be small and meek, but you mess with sin, it's going to burn you. You deny God's Word. You think the way out there in the world, the party and the dance and the drinking and the having a great time, oh boy, you're living it up. You're getting the best of both worlds. Here you are saved, and yet you're having all the fun that all the lost are having. And you don't think it's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
Amen.
I promise you, it's going to cost you. You say you got a bunch of rules in this church? We don't have many rules in this church. We don't tell you how long to wear your dresses unless they get too short. We don't tell you what kind of clothes you wear unless you come in here as just an offense to people. We don't care if you got long hair or short hair, whether you wear a beard or a mustache or shave it clean. We don't really care. We care what's in your heart. You know something, friend? We don't have a whole lot of rules, but I tell you what, you go out there and live like the rest of the world lives, you're going to get the results the rest of the world lives. You go out there and you dance at the dances and you trade wives out there at the dances, it isn't going to be long. Somebody's going to get an idea. You're going to get it. You say, oh, no, all my friends aren't that way. Are your friends made out of flesh? Are any of them made out of flesh? Do they have a sex drive? Are they all eunuchs? Huh? You can't take a woman and dance around in the dark with her. Nice little nightclub. You know why they keep those places dark here for people in the light? I have. They're scroungy looking places in the light. They keep them dark so they look good. You go in there in the light, it's not quite so romantic. Now, this dump, this is where I was last night. I got bombed and stoned out of my mind in this place last night. I mean, and then when you see the girl in the light, she ain't so pretty. When all the booze goes out of you, she's not that great, beautiful movie star you thought you were with. You wake up and find out, I've been fooled again. You don't mess with sin, get away with it. You don't deny God's Word. God's Word says the way to transgress is hard, and you're going to get some hard results if you transgress. Get that sense. You say, well, it's not going to happen to me. It's never happened to me. It's not going to hurt me. I could take you around and visit in this room right now. Give you enough testimony. I have to go outside. I could take you outside and visit a whole bunch more. I can look back at my own life. I can look in the lives of my children. I can look in the lives of my church. I can look in the lives of my friend. And all I got to do is take a look at the life of the world, the way the transgressors the hard way.
Amen.
You don't tell God no. Some of you don't have enough time to be in God's house. You too busy. It's not important. Why did God call us together?
Amen.
Do you think we're meeting because we just decided it was a good thing to meet? Or did God say we ought to meet? Did God gather the people unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Did God gather them? He did. The Bible says, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as a matter of some is. Are you one of those some that forsake the assembly? You don't have time together? I was that way when I was lost. I remember I was a lost man. My wife was saved. A couple of my friends got saved. They invited me to church. I was a lost church member, understand me. I was a Methodist 8 years and a Baptist for two, but then God saved me. Been a wonderful thing ever since. I went down to a Baptist church where they had an old hellfire and brimstone preacher about 65. They're trying to retire him. He kept on preaching to his 81 or 2. He just kept on going. But that old man could skin cats, and I mean, he'd lay salt in the back. He's talking about a fellow rub it raw. He did it. And that Sunday morning, a big old man put his hand on my back and said, are you saved, son? And he's tall as Jim Campbell, big as me. He said, you saved, son? I said, I'm going. And I went down the front and changed my membership. I moved it from Pruitt Avenue Baptist Church to Calvary Baptist Church. And I was just as lost as I was when I walked through the door that morning. And that afternoon, they came over, old Bob and Kathy and my wife. And my wife was about like this with Billy. They said, are you ready? Ready for what? Go to church. Man, I went this morning. But you just joined the church this morning, Linda. So what? You trying to make a fanatic out of me or something? I'm going to go back. You see, I went to church when I was lost like some of you go when you're saved. Point well taken. Huh? They drug me back. They drug me back. They forced me. Now, I'm not easy to force. But they just made me feel so bad that I finally had to go out. I used my wife for an excuse. Now, I stayed up all night long and played poker. Well, I'm going to put my wife to bed. I mean, you know, she's pregnant. And she says, I'm going to go. So we went. And God, the Holy Spirit, got a hold of me and saved my soul that night after I came back from church in a trailer house in Roswell, New Mexico. And since that day, I haven't missed many meetings. You know what I did? All of a sudden, I was at every meeting they had. They had a ladies' meeting. Brenda Kincaid was there. Holy man there. All ladies there. I was there. They had a children's meeting. I was there. They had a meeting on Monday night for the deacons. I'd show up. They had a meeting go out to the street. I'd show up. It meant what they did. I did it. I started getting up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning to read the Bible. I put my camels and traded them off for a New Testament. I smoked 2 packs a day. I put a New Testament in there where my camels were, and every time I wanted a cigarette, I said, "Oh Lord, help me." And I'd take out and read the Bible and pray. I read the New Testament through 20 times completely the first year I was saved. Some of you haven't read it yet. Point number 2. I read the New Testament more times the first year I was saved than most of you ever read it in your life. What am I trying to say? I'm saying you're not trying very hard. I'm saying your Christianity isn't worth much. I'm saying if you're an example of what a Christian is, why in the world should the world ever want to be saved?
Amen.
I'm saying if this is all you getting out of it, is drop by every once in a while for a service on a Sunday morning and open up and hear a little Bible what the preacher has to say, and you never get it yourself, you don't hear the words of God, you're too stinking proud. You need to humble yourself and repent of your pride and start listening when God speaks.
Amen.
When I went to a college class and some professor got up there and said something about the Word of God, something ring wrong in my head. Wait a minute! Chapter and verse. What? I've read the book. You need to listen. You know what Peter did? He got him backslidden. He didn't listen when God spoke. You need to know what God said. You don't need a preacher to tell you. The book's right there. You read 8th grade English, you read this book. It's plain. You know, the problem with most people, why they don't like the book, they want to change it. They don't like what it says. If not, they don't understand it. They don't like what it says.
Amen.
Well, Lester Olof said one time that he wasn't going to any more meetings trying to learn anymore. He had a hard enough time living what he already knew. I'll tell you what, my friend, I got a time living what I know. You read this book right here. God wants to speak to you. Is there any word from the Lord? Yes, there is.
Amen.
God speaks, and you ought to be swift to hear.
Amen.
And slow to speak. You know what Peter was? He was swift to speak and slow to hear. You know one of the first steps that will get you down the backsliding road? Get you to the place where you deny the Lord Jesus Christ with your mouth and deny Him with your life and sit in the camp of the enemies and be ashamed of your testimony? He's opening your mouth and you'll be listening. I don't know how many times I sit down in somebody's house and I say, "Friend, the Word of God says," and they say, "I don't know. I believe. I think." And I listen. And I listen. I've had times when God sent me by to see somebody. Sent me by. I know God sent me by. And I say, "Friend, I have something for you." I don't have time. Oh, I know that already. Are you talking to somebody else? I don't need that. I'm not backsliding. I'm all right. I don't have any time somebody walks through that door with a head backsliding. They get offended. I'm not backslidden. I haven't been to church because. And you've got some real good reasons. Oh, they're real good. Like you hadn't had an opportunity to go fishing lately. And Sunday was your day off. Why don't you take a day off work, you dummy?
Amen. Yeah.
Why don't you take a day off work?
Amen.
You big, stupid backslider. Oh, no, I'm no backslider. Who are you calling stupid? You. You understand? I didn't make a plan enough. I'll get it down and call you by name. You ought to be listening. You know how people get backslidden? They don't really care. They don't really care. You know the reason why you do what you do? Because you don't care what God thinks anyway. You know more than God. You know more than God. You believe you can run your life just any old way you want to. It's not going to hurt. It's not going to cost. You don't need His advice on anything you do. Let me tell you what. Jesus Christ spoke to Peter. And He said, "Peter, you're going to deny me." I listen to that. I've talked to people. Others have gone to people and talked to people and said, "The way you're going is going to cost you." No, it's not. Who do you think you are? You think you know everything? No, but I think I know a few things. I think I know a few things. You know the first step to backsliding? It's not listening to the Word of God. Talking, answering, giving excuses. Some of you work with kids, and I've worked with kids all my life. You know, you catch them doing something, and you tell them, "Don't do this," they'll lie. "I wasn't doing that. I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. I didn't write that." You know, Christians are about the same way.
Isn't it a shame? You are a whole lot that way. You just a whole lot that way. God's word comes out and says, let me say, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. I didn't think like that. I'm not like that. You never get it right. You never get it straight. I deal with marriages a whole lot. Same sort of thing. It's an amazing thing how there's never a guilty party. I've been dealing with marriages. I mean, I've been husbands and wives all these years. Some people, they're never wrong. Must be wonderful to meet someone like that. Isn't true? Never wrong. They've never said a bad word. They never meant a thing they said wrong. They never meant to hurt anybody's feelings. They were always thoughtful. They were always careful. And it was always the other person's fault. Or 70-30 or 60-40. But I guarantee you, I've never seen a marriage where it was all one person's fault. You know what? Maybe we're too swift to speak and not swift enough to hear. And that's what got Peter in trouble. Peter's headed down the road to denying the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, before this night's out, before this night is over, Peter, number one apostle, Peter, number one preacher, Peter, example for believers all down the line, is going to say, I don't know the Lord Jesus Christ 3 times. Where are you headed? I've been preaching a long time, 27 and a half years. I've seen a lot of you. And I've seen them come, and rise up, and look good, and go. Some of them go out to serve the Lord. Most of them go out to serve the Lord. Most of them go out never to mount to heaven because they stand up and they face the Word of God. And they deny it. And they deny their Lord. And they go to Him. See what I'm saying? In this room right here, most of you profess to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you still be around 3 years from now? Certainly. Will you be one of those that's still counting, got a testimony for Jesus? Or can some little woman knock you out with one word? Can some preacher make you mad on a given day and drive you away and you say, I'll never go back because he said, save your guts. Not enough to wipe out your Christianity? But Dave Jones was preaching one time and he said something, I forget what the word was. The lady met him at the back door. She said, preacher, did you know you said, I'm going to use stingy guts, stingy guts. He said, yes, I did. He said, well, I was offended by that. I'll never come back to hear you preach again. He said, ma'am, pardon me, what did I say before I said that? He said, I don't know. He said, what did I say after I said that? She said, I don't know. He said, I'm glad I said that. You wouldn't have got a thing out of the message. Some of you ought to open up your ears and hear the Word of God and not be offended, because steps to backsliding start with not listening to the Word of God. I want you to know the second thing he did. It says in verse 36, then cometh Jesus with him unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee, began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tire ye here, watch with me. Went a little further and fell on his face, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as I will. And he cometh unto his disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Now Peter had just before all the apostles said, Lord, I'll die with you. And he can't even pray 1 hour. You know the second step to backsliding? Sleeping when you ought to be praying. Amen. Some of you can't pray. Every time you start to pray, you go to sleep. You can't pray. Every time you pray, you go to sleep. Some of you sleep 10 hours a night, you can't hardly get up there. Some of you can't make it to Sunday because you're still sleeping on Sunday morning. If you go to bed on Saturday night, you might be able to make it up on Sunday morning. Amen or on me? Amen. Does that make you happy? Praise the Lord. Aren't you happy about that today? That's wonderful. Did you feel good? You know, some of us sleep when we ought to be praying. How much time did you spend praying this last week? When you had trouble in the car, did you pray? When you had trouble with a husband, did you pray? When you had trouble at work, did you pray? When you had trouble with your kids, did you pray? He said, watch and pray. Why? Flesh is weak. Your spirit may be willing, but your flesh is weak. And one of the problems with Christians today, we don't pray, we work it out. We just work it out. We don't ask God for wisdom. We don't ask God for help. We don't ask God to intercede for our life. We don't ask God to change things. We don't ask God to make us better. We don't ask God to take care of these things. We just work it out. Amen. Or we go to sleep and forget. Or I'm just turn over, pull the pillow over my head and say, stop the world and let me off. Second step, the backsliding.
sleeping, don't you? You know, if Peter been praying right, he might not have mind for long. If old Peter spent as much time praying as he ought to be, if he hadn't been sleeping when he was supposed to be watching with the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole history might have been different. Jesus might not have even had to give that prophecy if he'd have known Peter was going to pray when the time came to pray. I wonder, my friend, do you sleep better than you pray? Maybe you're backslidden. Just for that one reason, if nothing else. Because you sleep better than you pray. Have you ever thought that maybe God wakes you up so you'll pray? Have you ever thought God wakes you up at 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the morning so He can get your attention when it's quiet and nobody else around? You can actually pray for the saints of God at this church. You can pray for the people that are backslidden, already sitting on the shelf, broken and bruised. You can pray for some of them that are tempted and almost down the line. You can pray for some of these young people dealing with questions and decisions going to change their lives. You can pray.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, it changed this church if we did more praying than we did sleeping.
Amen.
And we'll be the kind of a sleep church we're going to be if we keep on sleeping and don't pray. Let me ask you something. You pray more than you sleep? Or do you at least pray better than you sleep? No, I doubt that very seriously. Most of you can sleep well. You sleep well. In fact, you complain you don't get enough sleep. When's the last time you complained because you don't pray enough? We're not very spiritual, are we? Put it down the line, we complain about the work of God, we complain about the preachers, we complain about our condition, we complain about our finances, we complain about our health, but we don't pray. You know, one of the greatest, biggest doctrines in the Bible is prayer.
Amen.
You know what Jesus said about His house? He said, "My house shall be called a house." Wednesday night we gather to pray. And sometimes we pray long. I've had people say, "Well, I don't like to go to Wednesday night because they just pray so long." Well, if you prayed that long at home, it wouldn't bother you if people pray long out here.
Amen.
But if you used to, "Dear Lord, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, pray the Lord my soul to take. Amen. Hallelujah. Good night, Lord." That's all you pray. Then you're certainly going to get tired of Wednesday night around here.
Right.
We're going to bore you to tears. You're going to say, "What a horrible place to be." You know where you ought to be? You ought to be at prayer meeting. You ought to make an effort to be at prayer meeting. You ought to be one of those that prays. You ought to be one of those that prays for others. Even if you don't pray out loud, you ought to be praying silently while others are praying. You wouldn't be quite as bored.
Amen.
Right now. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. I want you to know the great saints of God that have ever done anything for God, ever walked with God, ever had the power of God, were men of prayer.
Amen.
Where Peter made his mistake was he went to sleep instead of praying. He satisfied his flesh instead of his spirit. I wonder what your prayer life like. If God were looking for somebody to pray something through, would He pick on you? If God were looking for somebody to pray this church into a revival, would He come down and visit you and say, "Pray for this church, because I know you'll get through"? What sort of a prayer life do you have, Christian? You're born again. You belong to Jesus Christ. He's living within your soul. You're on the road to glory. You're saved, born again, a child of the King. Do you pray? I imagine if old Peter had a real concern, he'd pray. But you see, Peter wasn't worried about what the Lord was worried about. The Lord took his three best friends, Peter and James and John, and took them up to pray with him. He left the other nine apostles, nine disciples, down there throughout the hill. And he took his three best with him. And he brought them up there and said, "Watch and pray with me." At the weakest moment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest point of decision Jesus was ever going to make, at the time of committing His life as a sacrifice unto God the Father and a payment for sin, and He wants His three best to pray with Him, He finds them sleeping. He wakes them up. "Watch and pray with me. Wake up. Watch and pray with me. You're going to die with me? Can't you pray 1 hour with me?" That'd be a good question to ask you. Did you pray 1 hour this week? 1 hour? All week? How about 1 hour this month? Now, I know some of you prayed 1 hour about your finances this month. I know if God counted it up, you prayed 1 hour about your finances. Did you pray for the salvation of souls? Did you pray for the body of Christ? Did you pray for the missionaries? Did you ask for the church to be broken open in Lyon? Did you pray for the church in San Luis Potosí? Did you pray for the heathen out there that don't even have a written language? Did you pray for the people that are preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ? Did you pray for a new building? Did you pray for your friend to get saved?
Jesus wanted some intercessory prayer out of Peter, James, and John. He wanted to pray with him about a certain thing.
The will of God.
I guess if it was praying about your money, or your kid, or your wife that was sick, you spent some time in prayer. But how about praying for anything else? You know Peter's mistake? He slept when he ought to pray. Look at verse 47. While he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same is he. Hold him fast. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then they came, laid hold on Jesus, and took him. And behold, one, Peter, which was of Jesus, stretched out his hand, drew his sword, and struck the servant of the high priest, and smote off his ear. You know, the third step to getting backslidden, denying the Lord, is getting the flesh. Find the answer to your problem in your flesh. Peter had a sword on him. I have no doubt Peter was a fisherman. He'd been in some brawls down on the waterfront. I have no doubt Peter was one tough cookie before the Lord Jesus Christ called him out and saved him. And when they came to take Jesus Christ, Peter, remember what he said, I'd die with him. And he drew that sword, and here's old Malchus sitting right there, the servant of the high priest, and he took that thing, going to spit him right into, right down the middle of his nose, right between his two eyes. That's what he went for. The mouth started coming in there. And he got an ear. Jesus reached up, healed that ear. Put your sword up. You talk about a depressing day. He said, I can't do anything right. I can't do anything. You ever felt that way? You know the problem? You try to answer your problems with your flesh. You think that's the answer. I'll go to a picture show. That'll make us feel better. I'll go eat a meal. That'll make us feel better. What you need to do is pray.
Amen.
If Peter had been praying, he wouldn't have drawn his sword. If Peter had been praying, he wouldn't have cut a man's ear off. If Peter had been praying, he wouldn't have been where he was. But you know, he had to get in the flesh. And sometimes you get in the flesh. You think you can get in the flesh with your kids and went out. You think you can get in the flesh at the work and went out. You think you can get in the flesh and do it on your own, in your own way. You don't need a spiritual answer. You don't need the Word of God. You don't need a close walk with Jesus. You can just get in the flesh and do your own thing. That's what Peter did, and that's what got him in trouble. My friend, all the church is walking around trying to save people in the flesh. Oh, we're knocking on enough doors. If we just get enough warm bodies out, knocking on enough doors, we'll have revival. That's a bunch of garbage. And all the warm bodies you want out there knocking on doors, they don't have the Spirit of God within them, and they don't have a spiritual answer within them, they're not going to win anybody. Get in the flesh. Get mad. You think you can do it by getting mad? Your anger. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It doesn't straighten out your house. It doesn't straighten out the church. It doesn't straighten out spiritual convictions. You in your flesh cannot win a spiritual battle. You're going to have to come spirit. You're going to have to live in the Spirit. You're going to have to walk in the Spirit. You're going to have to listen to the Spirit of God. You're going to have to deal with spiritual beings on a spiritual plane. You really think you can take your big fleshy wisdom and your big strong arm to fight the devil? Who do you think you are? You think you can take your fleshy little method to go out and do a work and attack the domain, the kingdom of the enemy, and establish a work there in your fleshy way? Missionary friend, you're never going to win it in the flesh. My Christian witness, you're never going to win it in the flesh. Your marriage is messed up, you better get on your knees and start praying. Your kids are messed up, you better get on your knees and start praying. You better not do what Dr. Spock says. You better not do what somebody says. You better get on your knees and find out what God says and see if there's a spiritual answer to the problem that you have.
Amen.
One reason why Peter backslid. One reason why he denied the Lord, because he got in the flesh. And I'll tell you what, there's a whole lot of Christians in the flesh today. You wouldn't know a spiritual answer if it slapped you in the face. You don't recognize the Spirit of God. You don't submit to the Spirit of God. You don't care what the Spirit of God has to say. That's a shame. How in the world do you expect to have a spiritual church with spiritual revival and spiritual results when you're so much in the flesh?
Well, you can blame me. Say, yeah, but I can't get in the flesh. That's right. I'll admit it. Let me ask you something. What about you? You ever notice when you point a finger, three are going back to Jesus? And they'll say, oh, you're in the flesh. Three of them point right back to him. You ever notice that? I've been pointing my finger for years. I've noticed that. You've been walking your finger. Yeah, I know that so-and-so. They're in the flesh. Yeah, they're not living very spiritual. If you know the way they walk, those old fingers pointing back at you. You know what? I bet if you got right, it's spread. I bet if you really got revived, I bet it's
spread.
Amen. I bet if you really could discern between the flesh and the spirit and had your heart right the way it ought to be, I bet it's
spread.
You know what I've seen? I've seen somebody get revived and somebody get revived by the side. Somebody repent beside. I see somebody get saved, somebody else get saved beside. Spread, brother, it's spread. Somebody get happy. Everybody gets happy with it. You walk in sad. Everybody gets sad with it. Get in the flesh and just keep on doing it in the flesh. What kind of Christian are you? You a fleshly Christian? You like most Christians? Your testimony like most Christians? You live like most Christians? Then you're not very spiritual. And either you're heading towards backsliding or you're already there. You know, it says also that they took Jesus off. And it says in verse 58, but Peter followed him afar off. How close are you behind the leading of the Lord? Where are you, Christian friend, today? How close are you behind the leading of the Lord? Is there any spiritual discernment? Can God speak to you and you listen? Can you respond when God says, I want you to speak to this person? Can you respond when God says, I want you to lead out in a certain thing? Can you respond when God says, I want you to pray? If people pointed you out today, would they say, that one follows Jesus close, or that one follows Jesus afar? Where would you be? You know, it's always funny when you have a crowd going, there's always some of them lagging behind. I've taken hundreds of kids to the Capitol, to all sorts of different places, you know. I've drugged them, and there's always, you gotta send a few faithful ones ahead, and you lead the way, and you're back here bringing them along. Because you're going, they're going to stop and look at some little person and then wonder, where is everybody? I know Christians like that. They don't know where the rest of the church is. They're sort of lost. They're saved, but they're sort of lost. What's happening? They're not happening. Oh, have they been coming for a while? Some of you stay out so often that the guy who handles the door doesn't know what you're missing. Oh, that's right. Somebody been coming faithfully, they've been passing out cards to everybody, and they pass one out to you. Oh, what are you talking about? I'm a regular here. I was, oh, excuse me. I apologize. I know you're a regular here. I mean, I've only been here 6 months and I never met you. I mean, you know. Follow far off. Let Jesus get way ahead. Get out a long ways back. Let everybody else go ahead. You really don't want to be with that crowd. And you've got to the place you'd rather be with your friends in the world and your family in the world than with the saints of God on shouting ground. How backslidden are you today? And how close are you to being backslidden? How far along do you have to go before you deny the Lord? Are you following afar off? Others lead out in giving, and you're far off behind. Others lead out in witnessing, you're far off behind. Others lead out in prayer, and you're far off behind. Others lead out in missionary, you're far off behind. Others are faithful in the house of God, you're far off behind. Where are you today? Peter got too far back. He was still following. Most of the other disciples, they got took off, and they weren't even following. You know Peter said? He was still trying to follow. He was just a long way. Have you lost some ground, didn't you? If there's more distance between the will of God, Jesus Christ, and you than there was that week or last year, you following far. Then you know over in Mark chapter 14, verse 54, Peter followed him afar off, even under the palace of the high priest, and he sat with the servants and warmed himself at the fire. Where are you getting your warmth today? You know where Peter was when he finally denied the Lord? Sitting at the enemy's fire. Warmed. He was not praying. He wasn't with the saints. Jesus was afar off. He's sitting in the camp of the enemy. He's got his hands at the enemy's fire. Sitting there warm. Cold night. He's cold. Everybody around him is lost. Everybody around him is the enemy. You know, it's pretty easy to sing the praises of God when you've got 100 people singing it with you. Mm-hmm. It's sort of hard when you're the only one. And a crowd of 100. It's not really too hard to go down the streets and pass out tracts when there's 25 of you. Even 6 or 7 of you. You ever done it by yourself? Ever done it by yourself? You know, friend, some of you, right now, in your friends, in your work, whatever, you're warming yourself at the end of the time. You don't get your warmth here. You don't get your fellowship here. You don't get your family here. You wonder why you don't have any strength. You wonder why there's no power. Why there's no victory? Why it's so easy to deny? Why it's so hard to testify? Why it's so hard to stand up for the Lord and so easy to go along with the crowd? You're sitting at the wrong fire.
Amen. Amen.
Peter's been better off with the other 10 that had backslidden than sitting where he was far off from Jesus enemy doesn't like you.
Right.
Some people have a hard time becoming a Christian because they know they're not going to be liked by family and friends. I lost a lot of friends when I got there. Not because I started being ugly to them. I was as sweet to them as I could be. Not because I ceased to invite them to my house or to eat with them or to work, but because I got saved and I chose a new set of friends and I invited them to come with me. They didn't like my friends and they didn't like me. Some of you are sitting at the enemy. They don't like you. They don't like your testimony. They don't like your Jesus. Or they'll let you warm yourself at their fire. They'll even make fun of you. They'll rub your nose in the dirt. They'll rub your nose in the dirt. They'll take you and say, you're Christian. Hey, Christian. Hey, Deacon. What are you warming up? Don't you belong to Jesus? Aren't you one of those? Well, if you're one of those, what about this? What about this? What about this? What about this? You live in a glass house. Made the wrong thing.
Amen.
You got the friends in the wrong place. You made a choice. You made the wrong choice. You're sitting at the wrong fire. And somebody's going to come up to you one day at that wrong fire and say, hey, aren't you a Christian? You say, no. Somebody's going to come up to you and say, hey, what do you think of Jesus? One of these days, you're going to cuss and swear just like this.
Amen.
You haven't done it in years. Oh, yeah, you quit cussing. You got saved, you quit your cussing. You cleaned your mouth up. But you know, you set the enemy's fire. Those words haven't left your brain.
Right.
They're still there. That same lust is still there. That same anger is still there. That same flesh is still there. Those same jokes are still there. That same word is still there. And you set the enemy's fire, it's going to come out. Are you backslidden? Does any one of these 5 points of Peter fit you? Anyone? What if 2 of them? How about 3, 4, 5? Maybe you're about ready to come out of it. Peter took 5 distinct, direct steps. And he said, I don't know. I don't know it. I've been preaching a long time. I've seen a lot of people come, but I've seen them go. And I could take you this morning to their houses, just in this town. And I could show you a man that used to preach the gospel with an eloquent voice. Beautiful. We used to even share sermons. I remember one time, the burden of Duma. What a night. Man, he built a sermon out there. He knocked on doors faith. He won souls. He was a student. He loved this stuff. The last time I called, he said, I wouldn't even talk to any preacher if it weren't you. He said, I got a beer in my hand right now and I got a fight with my wife's kid. I really don't want to talk. I said, but I want to talk. Okay, I'll listen. Just obviously, he's still broke. He used to teach the word. He used to know the word. He used to win souls. He used to fellowship with the saints of God. But he warmed his hand at the end of his fire. He was back to his drinking and back to his dancing and back to his dancing down. He left his wife. He left his kids. He's gone. I can take you out of my place. That man's lost. I don't think. I don't think so. Where are you going to be 5 years from now? Are you hot for Jesus today? You love Jesus, but you're going to be 5 years from now. You still going to be on the fire line for Jesus? Are you still going to be counting for Jesus? Or have you already started steps 1, 2, 3, first back there? Peter did a beautiful thing. Peter repented. He went out and he wept bitterly. And then when he saw the Lord on the shore, you know what he did? He was naked out there fishing with a bunch of men in the middle lake. He put his fisherman's coat on it and he dove in that water and he swam the shore. You know what I think he did? I think he went up to Jesus that the Lord forgave. Lord, always does. The Lord's in the business of forgiveness.
Amen.
You know, Jesus took old Peter and stood him up at Pentecost, and 3,000 souls came to Jesus. Jesus picked old Peter out and sent him down to Cornelius, an Italian captain in the Roman army. He led that Italian all over the first Gentiles.